Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey guys, I am so excited to finally be back talking about one of my favorite shows, Legacy. Tonight we kind of got a Glee version of the TVD universe, and honestly, I'm into it. To hear our thoughts, please stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Legacies After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are going to be breaking down Season 1, Episode 11, titled We're Gonna Need a Spotlight. I am your host, Sam Davidson, and I am so thrilled to be back. And I have my new co-host, whom I just met tonight, and I really like you. This has been a lot of fun already.
I'm Joshua Wright, and I'm glad to be back this week.
And this episode was very fun. I kind of think I understand what the producers and the writers are going for. We're looking for a bit of a lighter, supernatural, fun show. What were your overall thoughts?
My thoughts on this episode were really good. I like the fact that they exposed the inhibitions of all of the characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me too. I liked it. And there's been parts of this show over the past few months since it's been on. Mm-hmm. I'm so used to The Vampire Diaries and The Originals, which is very dark. And it does have its funny moments. Yeah. But even when in The Vampire Diaries they were teenagers, they never acted like it.
Right.
But in this show, they do. And I didn't like it because I'm 31 years old and I'm like, I'm too old for this, you guys. But I get it now and I'm into it. I think it kind of was just my mindset as far as what I was expecting from the show.
You were married to a format.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, and the thing is, I still, like, I do Riverdale. I do so many other teenage shows, and I don't have an issue with it. I think, I was married to a format, and I'm getting adjusted to this new one. And I really love, Ryan, that, like, Ryan, yes. No, you're Josh.
Josh, it's okay.
Josh. I was like, I have two ex-boyfriends, Ryan and Josh. They're very confusing.
I hope they're good.
Josh, I really like that you're starting to watch The Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. What are you thinking of The Vampire Diaries, if I have
to ask? I do understand the format and what you said about how it's dark. It's a bit sinister. You know, watching Legacies brings that levity, and it shows that the kids aren't like their parents were or the people from, you know, The Vampire Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I completely agree. And again, we got some music this episode.
Yes.
Didn't know so many of these people were musically inclined.
Yes.
And I really, really loved it.
Yeah. In their personal lives, it really showed on film tonight.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
First, let's start by talking about this monster of the week, which is this slug that is somehow tied to a unicorn and goes into your ear and, you know, affects your some lobe in your brain that releases inhibitions.
Yes.
Kind of this is people's dream life. You know, don't people wish that they could walk around the world and not have any worries, fears, judgments?
That's true. In a lot of ways, they don't have those because they are supernatural, but they do have some things that they're restricted on, you know, as far as using their powers for worse. You know, how Josie wanted to bring on the classes for offensive magic. Well, in this episode, I saw how her inhibitions allowed her to be more vocal, be more forward. You know, and I felt like it was very important to see that part of her. It shows that she's really ready to grow as a character.
Yeah, and it did show other sides that we didn't see. And specifically, though, the first person we really see to start get affected is Hope.
Correct.
Who is usually such a hard ass.
Yes.
So we know something's wrong when she's like, hey, guys, you know, I'm a cheerleader. Like, I am very excited about life and about my relationship.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy seeing Hope this way?
To a point. I like to see that she can be jovial, but I do prefer Hope when she's serious. You know, she's on target. She's very dominating with all of her characters as far as, you know, Raphael and Landon. So it was nice to see her this way a little bit.
And Landon, we still don't know what the heck he is, honestly.
I have my thoughts on Landon.
Really?
I do.
Okay.
Watching the series, I think Landon is a supernatural something from Malivore due to the fact that his mother was there. So I feel like he's something supernatural because it's hard for him to be infected. Notice, you know, it's just hard for anyone to, like, when MG came in the episode, in the first episode, and tried to erase his memory. It seems like Landon is beyond any type of issues.
He's kind of, in a way, like a wall of some sort, or a protection, a blocking. Nothing works on him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but Landon sure sees that there's something wrong with Hope. This isn't the girl he fell in love with. He fell in love with, like, a tortured, really angry soul. Yeah. And it probably, like, gets him very excited when Hope yells at him. And he's like, why isn't she yelling at me today? There's something very wrong with
her. Opposites attract.
I know. And then, though, did you see a couple episodes ago, did you foresee the Raphael and Hope of it all? Did you see some sparks between them when they did that training fight scene?
Yeah, when they did the fight scene, and also with Raphael's dreams he was having, you know, all of a sudden Hope started to appear in his dreams and he began to question it in the real life. And then, you know, we see that tonight in a different light.
And we have this I don't know what it reminds me of, like the movie Ghost, perhaps. I'm not sure. Hope does something to him where she cuts him, and then she understood it better.
Yeah, she was making a mixture of some sort, and she told him, if I cut you, you can heal yourself. But I think the professor wanted to see that they could perform these types of rituals correctly. And so the chemistry between them, you know, Raphael gets lost in Hope's eyes while she's performing this ritual, which is another show that he is attracted to her in a different way.
It was weirdly sensual.
Yeah, it was very sensual. Yeah. But it was nice, though. It was very polite the way they did it, and Hope didn't even pick up on it, you know?
Well, she also had a slug in her brain.
Correct.
So,
that's true.
You know, God only knows what she was getting from that moment or other moments. Yeah. Before I move on to the rest of this really awesome and exciting episode, we have a lot of stuff going on at AfterBuzz TV that, you know, we'd love to share with you guys and let you know about.
Yes, we just want to tell you all that we thank you for making us the ESPN Talk of TV. And for us to continue to grow, some things that we could use your help with. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. No matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us, and we are truly appreciative you're supporting us in doing what we love. Don't forget to tell your friends, and as always, keep enjoying our shows.
Absolutely, and I know both of us do a lot of other shows here.
Yes.
So we truly are the ESPN of TV Talk, because we talk about everything.
Yes, we do.
I love it. Talent show, you guys. Were you ever part of a talent show in high school?
I was. I'm a musician, so I had to sing or play.
Was it ever embarrassing? Did you do a good job?
For me, it wasn't embarrassing because I grew up in church. So I was used to performing from the time I was 7 years old. So, you know, the way Caleb got on stage and just commanded the stage I really liked it. It was very nice.
And that was nuts. I mean, I'm sure there's so many actors out there that actually do have musical abilities
that's
that we
true.
Don't know about. They're kind of a jack of all trades as far as performance is concerned. But again, it's so shocking when some of these actors that you've watched for months or years pop up on screen and, like, they're Lady Gaga.
I mean, they surprise you.
And Caleb certainly surprised me. I mean, I know that you guys spoke last week about him being a performer, an artist, a musician.
Right. Yeah.
He was so good, and I want a version of that song.
Yeah.
I loved it, and I loved how, like, the vampires and everyone was dancing.
Yeah, they were.
And, yes, was it a bit absurd? Absolutely. It gave me Buffy the Vampire Slayer vibes, though, which, you know, Joss Whedon has created a lot of shows that are kind of campy, funny, and sci-fi, fantasy. And this is definitely touching into, I think, older genres.
Yeah. Some of the lighting and some of the writing, the chemistry between the characters is very relatable.
Yeah, I loved it. And I mean, I'm always a lover of, like, musical theater, any kind of performance on TV, singing. So I really liked it. Would you be down if they continued this theme of maybe singing songs on the show?
I would, but I would like to see songs that are more relatable to what they're going through. You know, almost like cathartic.
I mean, it's like, how do they work this in? I don't know.
They'll find a way.
I hope so, because they're all really, really good singers.
Yeah.
Raphael does some spoken word.
He does.
Very emotional. And it's, the thing is he didn't have the slug in his brain when he connected with Hope a few episodes ago.
No, he didn't.
This has been something that has been obviously very much going on.
Yes.
So it seems the slug just brings out what everybody is truly...
is afraid to do.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, the slug, well, everyone that it was able to infiltrate, it definitely was able to express, they were able to express what they were really feeling. You know, like you said, it limits the inhibitions. And, you know, with Raphael getting up and performing his spoken word, he was able to look hope in the eyes and he was able to direct his comments towards Landon. Mm-hmm. But later on, he was able to act as if he had a scapegoat because he was infected.
And sorry, I'm just slowly, like, not a lot, glancing at the chat because there's not a lot of us, but I just want to make sure you guys are heard. Someone, Ivan Soto, mm-hmm. Caleb was actually in Hamilton, apparently.
Oh.
So that's pretty awesome. Oh, wow. It makes a hell of a lot of sense
now.
Yeah,
that's incredible. Hamilton is a great show.
Absolutely. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that because that makes very much everything fit into place now. But yeah, I mean, Raphael, beautiful, very sad spoken word poem. And definitely things with him and Landon are going to be awkward now.
Oh, they definitely are going to be awkward. He knowingly lied to Landon and was able to walk out, you know, hide against the wall and realize that he lied to his best friend. So I feel like it's going to foreshadow some type of quarrel between them. Perhaps Hope may have to make a decision or not at all, you know?
You know that song's by the 80s artist Robin, I Keep Dancing on My Own. Have you ever heard of that song?
I haven't heard that song.
It's like about some girl that's sad. She's dancing by herself because mm-hmm. she's in love with someone that doesn't love her. Mm. I'm sure you guys know the song. I very much felt Robin dancing on my own vibes here. And poor Raphael, like Raphael has had Lizzie be obsessed with
that's
him,
true.
Josie be obsessed with him.
Yeah.
And I think he's fantastic. You asked me, Josh, earlier who my favorite characters were.
Correct,
and I said, yeah, Raphael and Josie.
Yeah.
And I just want him to find a nice girl.
Well, who would you prefer, Josie, Lizzie, or Hope?
Josie.
You prefer Josie for Raphael?
Absolutely. But, okay. You know, it seems that Josie is busy.
She's a bit distracted from her ex-girlfriend now.
Well, you know? That's my next topic.
Yeah.
Perfect. So let's get into it. Josie and Penelope.
Right.
We haven't seen her in a minute.
Right. Well, she was there to help them a couple of weeks ago, and she was trying to help Raphael and MG with their love interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now she appears again, and she's in a light where even though she's infected, she's able to act, you know, on how she really feels because she still is truly in love with Josie.
Yeah, and there's several characters that... are they infected? Or are they not? There's a lot of people that are maybe seen as villains or outspoken just because they speak how they feel and it might piss people off sometimes.
Yeah.
And so she's like, slug, no slug. Like, I don't care. This is how I feel.
Yeah.
And we kind of are trained to not like her, but we know we're going to get more from her at the beginning of this season.
Yeah.
Then she disappeared and I kind of forgot about her.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, a couple episodes we saw her. And are you shipping? Do you like them together, Josie and Penelope?
No. They're not my favorite couple. And that's partly because Penelope is always up to something. She has a very duplicitous disposition about her. You know, she's always, even though it may come out the right, you know, in the end, the right way, while she's in the limelight trying to do things, it seems as if she's always involved in something negative. And even though they're opposite, I just don't see how they fit.
I think they're going to show us.
Okay.
I think, you know, even the backdoor pilot in the originals for this show, mm-hmm. we met Landon and Hope, and they made it this beautiful romance that kind of was, this is what this show is going to be about. This is our main romance. And then when we first meet Josie, we see that she has this kind of on and off lover's quarrel with mm-hmm. Penelope.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an interesting relationship, 100%. I have a feeling that it is supposed to kind of be a big part of who Josie is.
Yes.
And so I'm with you a little bit. I don't love the relationship. I don't love her because it seems she might have been a bit not nice or abusive to mm-hmm. Josie in some ways. But
yeah, that's what I feel. I feel like she dominates Josie because she knows Josie is receptive. She knows she's patient. She's giving.
Taking advantage of her qualities.
Yes.
And listen, this show could totally convince me. Give me two episodes and you give me some good Penelope and Josie scenes. I don't know what the ship name is. You guys let me know. But, like, I'm very easily swayed. And in The Vampire Diaries, the originals, there's many relationships that start off and you think, oh, God, never. That's horrific. That's terrible. And then you end up loving these relationships.
That's true. I agree.
So At the end of the season, when we are totally shipping them, we'll watch this episode back and think, wow, we were wrong.
Yes.
I don't know.
Makes sense. Yeah.
I will stand by what I feel right now, though. Yes. I'm just not into it. But Josie is coming into her own, and she is telling Lizzie, with the slug in her, that she wants to be in the spotlight.
Yeah.
And then she sings this freaking beautiful song, and my first note is, I'm not crying, you're crying. Like, I was looking, you know, I was like, oh, God, I think I might cry. I just met him.
Yeah, it's all right.
She was amazing, right?
Yeah, she was. She commanded the stage just like Caleb did, you know. No fear. You know, her inhibitions said that she wanted the spotlight. Even though she was shy after the slug, she still was able to command the spotlight. You know, it reminds me of Taylor Swift, how I heard Taylor Swift say she hates being on stage. But when she's on stage, she does a great job.
You just earned a million points for me by bringing up Taylor Swift. So, good job. But, I mean, she really did kind of blossom. And I also was explaining to Josh the mothers of it all, a little bit about Caroline and how Lizzie is more like her and how Josie is more like Joe. And it is a very interesting dynamic, and we're finally seeing Josie grow up and become a woman. And I'm just really excited to hopefully get to see the Joe in her.
Yeah. Well, you did ask me earlier what my favorite character was, and I did say mine is becoming Lizzie because of Lizzie's fierceness, her directness. I know she's selfish. I know she's the villain a lot of times. But after she had her episode with the genie and her wishes, I feel like she's willing to make that change. And that's something you can see with the bracelet that she had on this week.
And I really want to give the writers props, because there's so many shows that do those one-off episodes like they did 2 weeks ago with a genie, you know, that are very theme-based and mainly have one character in them, and they don't really exist in reality. It's either a flashback, a dream, an alternate reality. And then they don't, the next episode comes and they don't follow that storyline up.
Right.
And I really thought, honestly, that's what was going to happen. And we were just going to act like Lizzie was all just the same.
Yeah.
But she wasn't, and I'm so, so happy that they addressed it. Because, I mean, having a genie come and you do wishes and the whole world is awful, then you come back and you take back the wish and then you screw the genie.
Yes.
I mean, that is a very traumatizing, life-altering thing.
It is traumatizing. Yes, it is. But Lizzie learned from it. You know, she's self-aware now.
And she literally gave herself, like, a shock collar on her wrist.
Yes. I mean, that is a bold statement. You know, that's showing me that she's willing to make that change. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I do like about her.
And, you know, I see some people saying she didn't change at all. It takes a long time to change.
It does.
That said, the writers acknowledged it, and it's a change that she is trying to make.
Right. The effort is there with the bracelet that shocks her so that she won't be mean.
What did you think about that moment when Lizzie asks Josie if she's a good sister?
Oh, I knew that Josie was going to tell the truth. But it showed that Lizzie was able to accept the fact that she is a bad sister. Because the reason I think she asked Josie is because she already knows the answer. So you're just looking to say, oh, let me see if she'll tell me the truth. And she did. But Lizzie didn't hold it against her.
I don't think Lizzie is that bad of a sister.
Okay.
She's not great. She's flawed. They're twins. There's usually, in a twin situation, one is more vocal and outgoing. Yeah. One is shy. I don't think she's done something horrific yet.
No, she hasn't, but I feel like Lizzie, to me, the horrific thing that she's done is been inconsiderate to Josie. And to me, that's enough. You know, with as important as they are as twins, you know, twins in the womb, you can see pictures where they're hugging each other and they're loving each other. So Lizzie is at a point where she feels her things are more important than what Josie's are. And so now that she's changing into a different character, being self-aware, that's why I think she's becoming a better sister.
I think so. It's a work in progress.
Yeah, of course.
Guys, let's just think about Caroline. I would love to see what we did, the Vampire Diaries, I think season one here. I mean, I wasn't in it, but there were hosts here. We did it. I'd love to see what people thought about Caroline. She sucked. She was mean. She was awful. She bullied people. She was selfish. Mm-hmm. And then she turned into probably one of the most loved characters on a series that lasted 8 seasons. And she was in every single season. So let's give Lizzie some.
So would you say Lizzie is going to follow or has the potential to follow those footsteps?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I don't hate Lizzie. Like, a lot of people are really angry with her, but teenagers suck.
They're growing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adults are bad too.
I think I sucked back then maybe too. Like, I don't know. That, and you're just not self-aware, but at least now that she is self-aware.
Yeah.
Speaking of self-aware, we had some very interesting things this episode with Alaric.
Yes.
Okay. So him and Emma, I always knew there was some chemistry between them. Did you feel it even like at the beginning of the series?
I did when he would go in for his sessions. In a lot of situations when a psychologist has that type of access to you, there is a level of vulnerability there. And there it's easy for them to, you know, I guess you can say sneak in and try and get you, you know, to see what you're about.
Mm-hmm. There is a part of me now that I'm talking about this with you. I don't know if I trust her.
Emma?
Yes. Because it's the ones like Emma that sneak in and they get your trust. I mean, she, yes, she did have a slug in her brain, but she wanted to run away with the urn.
Yes, but she had, in my opinion, she hasn't done anything that warrants her being a deceitful person.
Oh, I know, but okay. I have my eye on her.
But you, okay, but she's in, okay.
I just want to put it out in the universe so that when I'm right.
It was already said.
You could be like, let's just cite Sam from season 1, episode 11 on February 21st when she said she did not trust Emma.
Yeah.
So remember my words, guys. I actually don't know. I do like her. And Alaric needs some love. He really needs some love. And he did not have a slug in his brain.
No, he didn't. And that's what was funny about it. He felt like it was going to be a scapegoat for him. And then when he realized it wasn't, it was just his true feelings finally coming to light. You know, Emma brought it out of him. And I feel like that's what makes them a good couple, though. When someone is able to bring out of you what's in you, I feel like that's what makes you good for them, you know?
I agree. And I mean, he's been very stifled.
Yes.
All he cares about is school and his girls and hope, and he can't have any fun.
Yeah, but that's dangerous. You know, he needs a mental health break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Emma's there to give it to him. And I think they had a good time at their karaoke.
I mean, and it was like nobody was there, too.
Yeah, it seemed like all of a sudden the room was empty and they were there just being themselves, you know? And it just, to me, it was important to note that Emma is in a relationship. And I didn't know who it was with. I have a feeling because I'm saying, well, there are no other characters. It turns out it was Dorian.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
I had a very good feeling, too. And Dorian has been a part of this universe. He was on the freaking Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
And I even forgot about that. He was, like, in it towards the end. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he is a good guy.
And they need him.
He's very smart as well.
Like, I don't think this whole place could run without him because he's always on the field.
Yeah.
He is the eyes and ears of things that are going on outside that Alaric needs to know.
Well, he captured the slug. You know, as it was crawling up his leg, he captured the slug and he was able to speak to it when hope came to him. He was able to say, hey, this is what it is. We need to figure out a way to stop it. You know, this was the host. This unicorn was the host. Let's figure out a way to stop this slug.
Don't be fooled by a unicorn, guys. They might be cute and beautiful and seem sweet, but they also might be a slug that works their way into your brain.
That's right.
And guys, I do know that Emma wanted the urn because she had the slug in her. I understand. I'm just trying to build a case against her. I understand what you're saying, though. But yes, she did have her reasons for wanting to take the urn and blah, blah, blah. I'm still suspicious. But back to Alaric and everything that was going on. And Dorian, you know, Dorian really did save the day.
He did.
And I love the scene where, you know, they electrocute themselves. Kind of. They don't electrocute themselves.
Yeah.
That was very dramatic. They shock themselves. Mm-hmm. And then they go back to the school. And, you know, Emma, like, slams the doors. And then what did Dorian say? He goes, you all are going to, you know,
get detention.
Yeah. And it's just like these animals, like, with, like, neon lights going behind them, pounding on this door. And it's awesome. And he definitely helped. And, again, we have another love triangle.
Yeah. Well, I like, in that scene, I like Emma's character. Emma definitely, for me, was the one who took the reins. You know, even though everything was going on at the school with everyone else, Emma is the one who circumvented the problem. You know, I was wondering, how are they going to kill all these slugs? You know, how are they going to get all of these slugs out of all of these students? Even though they were in an auditorium, they were localized to an area. Emma's the one who figured it out, you know, with the help of Landon and with the help of Hope and Dorian. She was able to really execute the plan.
Yeah. And then, you know, all the kids, of course, when you have a slug just come out of your ear, everyone's like, and then they just stomp on it.
Yeah.
And I love the reaction of all of these kids. Just, I mean, I would freak out, too. I understand.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. You have a parasite that's trying to it lay eggs in your brain. You know, that's something that startles you, makes you scared, you know?
They didn't even know, though. They just like, ew, slug came out of a hole in my body.
Yeah.
I understand that's upsetting. Also, you live in a supernatural school. Why are we surprised?
But yeah, anything's possible.
Bugs really freak people out.
Yeah, even though you're around werewolves and witches.
Yeah, it's like a little slug that just pops out of you that scares the crap out of you.
Yeah.
However, all of the supernatural beings around you that could kill you at any moment.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. So then Landon figures out the Hope is infected. Yeah, mm-hmm. They do the whole thing. And I really like how they team up together. Mm-hmm. We're still trying to figure out who and what Landon is, but
he's something great. That's my opinion.
God, you know, I don't know. I know that Julie Plec, the creator of the mm-hmm. show, absolutely brilliant. And she has yeah. some really cool things in store. Mm-hmm. I'm just really ready for her to let us in.
To let us know who Landon is?
Yeah. Like, is he good? Is he bad? Is he evil? Is he, like, some kind of descendant of something really bad? Is he a savior? Is he kind of a conduit? I'm not sure.
I just think he's something supernatural. I haven't thought about what his role would be. I definitely don't think it's anything sinister. I believe it's more of a leader. I think he's an alpha.
Mm.
I really think he's an alpha. You know, it's hard for alphas to be affected by a lot of different things. And the fact that I said earlier he's uninfected, I believe that he's an alpha.
Of what?
That's the question. What type of alpha is Landon? You know, let us know in the chat what you all think, what Landon's character may be.
Yeah. Know? We need some theories, and I feel like, you know what? I feel like he could be a monster of the week one week, and we don't, like, because we're seeing all these creatures, some of which we know, we've heard about, they're in mythology, mm-hmm. legends, all of that, and then some, I don't know if they're making it up. I'm assuming actually all of them are kind of based in some kind of folklore.
Yeah.
But
especially like the dragon and the gargoyles.
The gargoyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I swear, after I saw that gargoyle episode, I was seeing gargoyles everywhere.
I mean, I watched gargoyles when I was a kid. It was a cartoon.
Yeah.
And they would come to life at nighttime, but they were protectors of the city.
Well, which one was your favorite monster of the week?
Ooh, my favorite monster of the week?
Because they have them every week. You know, they're
yeah.
different.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't. Give me 30 seconds.
All right. I'll give you some time on that.
Okay.
Okay. So then we have Lizzie, Josie, Alaric. They have some family time. I always mm-hmm. love it when they kind of regroup. And, you know, Lizzie now says that she kind of wants to be a bitch again.
Yeah.
Not thrilled with that. I thought we got a nice break.
Yeah, but if that's who you really are, you know, my parents always taught me, if you're going to be something, be the best at it. You know? That's what they taught me.
If you're going to be a bitch, be the baddest bitch out there. I think it'd be good for Lizzie to not have a love interest mm-hmm. and just really love herself. But I also, you know, after that period of time is over and when she figures out who she is, I think someone new and sexy, maybe like Landon's brother, who knows, you know.
Could just pop up out of nowhere.
Exactly. But this was a super, super fun episode.
It was fun. Lighthearted. Very nice.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Before we get into predictions and all of that, we have a special segment, which is, of course, the fiercest moment of the week. Mm-hmm. Let's start.
Oh.
Oh, thank you. All right. What was your fiercest moment of the week, Josh?
It was Emma.
Emma
electrocuted everyone. That was my moment.
All right. I liked that. I liked that as well. My fiercest moment of the week? I think it was Lizzie just having basically a shock collar around her, around her wrist and just, you know, being, you know, every time.
That is fierce.
She said something and it was so funny. And I can't remember exactly what it was. I didn't write it down, but it was so mean. And then... they were like, you're infected. And she's like, I swear I'm actually not. I cast a spell around this. And it's shocking me every time I say something mean or rude. And then, you know, like self-awareness. I'm really liking Lizzie this episode. I keep on switching. I either love her or I hate her. I'm really loving her.
There's no in-between.
Yeah, no in-between.
That's all right.
Very polarizing character.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she can be.
And next, we have a little bit of news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So there is an article on cinemablend.com titled Legacy Reveals Details on Episode Directed by Vampire Diaries Paul Wesley. We know that Paul has directed, I think he directed some of the originals, a couple episodes, and the Vampire Diaries he did an episode. So they say Stefan is back, but not really. Paul Wesley did return to the Vampire Diaries universe to direct an episode of the spinoff Legacies, and now the CW has shared more about the episode. So it's called The Boy Who Still Has a Lot of Good to Do. Mm. When a spontaneous road trip to visit MG's parents leaves him and Landon missing, and a distressed Raphael with no memory of what happened, Hope and Alaric and Caleb set out to find them before it's too late. Paul Wesley directed the episode, written by Mark Ryan Wahlberg, and teleplay by Bryce Ahart and Stephanie McFarlane. Paul's an amazing director, and I just really wish we could see a little Stefan, but sorry for Vampire Diaries fans who don't know the ending. You know, I wish he could come back to this universe. He could in a flashback, and but he's dead, so... There's no way he's coming back. If you guys watch the show, you know that. Please do not, like, crucify me for telling you that Stefan didn't make it out alive. He lived, like, 180 years, so
that's a good life.
Good life. So I'm excited that he's continuing to be a part of this universe, and I can't wait to see what he does.
Yeah.
And he's, for, you know, Josh and anyone else out there, he plays Stefan. Paul Wesley plays Stefan.
Right.
Like the main sexy, nice vampire.
No, I didn't know he was all those things.
He's a lot of things.
No, I knew he was a vampire.
He's sexy and he's nice, but then he's bad because he's a ripper. You know what? Sorry, I'm getting back into my TBD universe, but that's all where right. I am. And I'm so comfortable here.
It's helping me a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm starting to understand a lot of things.
I'm telling you, Josh, anytime. You just text me.
Yeah,
with
I got
any kind
you.
Of TBD question, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll just like answer
because
I feel that strongly about it. All right, let's get into some predictions, you guys.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Would you like to start?
My predictions for next week. I definitely think that Lizzie is going to have a more commanding character. With her self-awareness, I think that she's going to be in a position to do more that's going to be beneficial to the school.
Mm-hmm. So, is there anything else? Sorry.
There's a lot else, but I want to hear your opinion, too.
As far as Lizzie is concerned, they mentioned something in the last episode with the genie about the Gemini curse.
Yep, the Gemini curse.
I mentioned it earlier this season, and everyone was like, no, Sam, you're wrong. They reversed the curse or something of that effect, that it's not a thing anymore. It still could be a thing.
Oh, it definitely could be.
Yeah, and that one twin kills the other.
Yes.
Who's ever the strongest. So I do think that we will start to see Lizzie and Josie kind of, even though they don't want to be fighting and competing against each other, they will be.
Well, when I saw couple of weeks ago episode, you know, Josie being in the dream, in the second wish, Josie being fierce like she was, you know, being an alpha. That shows me that it doesn't necessarily mean that Lizzie's the stronger twin. She could just be the more vocal twin. Because in my opinion, with someone like Josie who's able to accept a lot of the shortcomings of Lizzie, to me, she's probably stronger emotionally than Lizzie is.
Yeah.
You know, Lizzie throws tantrums. She has an opinion about everything. And Josie's very patient and gentle and kind. And that could be a sign that she's actually the stronger twin.
Until she's not. I mean, I also heard some things about Josie, the actress, talking about, like, the dark Josie.
Yeah.
And how we just maybe got a taste of her and that we perhaps will be seeing more. So I hope that we see that. I also hope that Alaric, we kind of explore his romantic stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe with Emma. Maybe Emma's evil.
Yeah. I mean, Rick's had a dearth of love for so many years, you know, so... It's time. It's time for somebody to throw some love his way, you know?
Yeah. And I just want to say, like, I'm very grateful for the writers and like, this was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed this.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the singing, and I think that bringing music into the show could be a running theme, and I perhaps hope it is, because why would you waste that kind of talent?
A lot of talent in those characters. And they can use those talents, you know, with solving mysteries and helping with the monsters, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't have anything else to say...
No, I'm cool right now.
All right. Guys, this was so, so much fun. I enjoy talking about this with all of you very, very dearly. Where can we find you online?
You can find me at Cleverly Clad.
And you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure to follow us on AfterBuzz TV. Tweet us, rate, review, subscribe. I always read your comments and your questions. Like, I am on it. So please continue to do that. We will see you next week. Bye.
All right.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.